This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. I can't breathe were the final words of Eric Garner when he was killed by a New York City police officer. These words have become a mantra chanted by protesters across the nation speaking out against police brutality and state violence. And a couple of artists in Durham are using mantras and breath as a way to reflect on this brutality here and across the U.S. Breathing Back, a Meditation Chorus, is the work of community artists Alexis Pauline Gums and Julia Roxanne Wallace, also known as Sango Dare. And I want to welcome both of you to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
So, Alexis, tell us a little bit about this, about the project itself. Breathing Back, what is it?
Breathing Back is a multimedia exhibit, and when you walk into the space, you have this experience, this musical experience of being introduced to these beautiful soundscapes that Sango Dare has created in honor of the revolutionaries that the exhibit honors. And so we wanted to make a visual, sonic, physical space here in Durham that would allow people to interact with and experience our process of thinking about how we breathe in chorus and in tandem with generations of Black revolutionaries who've inspired us.
Who are those revolutionaries?
There are a few. 12 are featured in this particular part of the exhibit. So there's Ida B. Wells, there's Audre Lorde, June Jordan, Pauli Murray, Bayard Rustin, Toni Cade Bambara, Lucille Clifton, and
Fannie Lou Hamer, Ella Baker.
What is it about those figures and breath? Because that's another important part of this. So how do those two things work together? They're, you know, revolutionary ideologies and breathing.
Well, for us, we have had to think about how we connect to those ancestors as a source of strength in the different moments that we face. And so we think about our breathing as a portal for their survival. Part of the way that Fannie Lou Hamer survives is that we sing the songs that she sang again. We repeat the words that she said in her powerful speeches again. And that's a way that she still continues, her energy still continues to circulate on the planet and in our movements. And so we think about our own breathing and how sacred our embodied lives are, but we also think of our breathing as a passageway for everyone who has ever spoken love into the world.
And you use breath in your discipline, in your daily exercise, right?
That's right.
Tell us how that factors into this.
Well, so basically, I, as a recovering workaholic, I had to learn how to intentionally breathe and take a breath and reserve my own resilience and get present. And I started to play with the idea of chanting mantras. And of course, there are all sorts of mantras from all over the world. And, you know, mantra is a specific term around meditation and freeing our minds. But I also realized that as a Black feminist literary scholar, the words that were coming to me over and over again were these quotations from Black revolutionaries who have informed my practice of Black feminism. So I started to repeat those words over and over again as a way to replace the negative messages that are repeated through the media and in an oppressive culture with positive affirmations that come from those ancestors.
Well, let's get a little sample of what we're talking about right here.
Today's meditation and our mantra that we feel no guilt is a direct quote from what Claudia Jones said on behalf of herself and other folks who were on trial for being accused of being communists. They felt no guilt about being who they were politically and standing for what they believed. And I think that this is relevant to so many of us who are shamed for our political beliefs, for our behaviors, for our gorgeousness, for the way we recreate our livelihoods. So, take a deep breath, release the self-shaming that you may have been practicing, release the shaming energy that the closed-minded or fearful people around you may have directed at you or at those you love, and join me in repeating with Claudia Jones that we feel no guilt.
We feel no guilt. We feel no guilt. We feel no guilt. We feel no guilt. We feel no guilt.
That is Alexis Pauline Gums doing a breathing exercise with the words of Claudia Jones and music composed by my other guest today, Julia Roxanne Walla Shango Dare. Julia Shango Dare, tell us about your involvement in this and how you create music for this project.
Well, I came onto the project when Alexis decided to do the online Black Feminist Breathing Chorus, and was really excited to be able to create a soundscape to go along with the mantras that people would be saying. And I'm fortunate to have an ongoing relationship to these ancestors because of Alexis's Eternal Summer of the Black Feminist Mind Intergalactic Community School. And so my process was really just to look at the collages that she'd created and to repeat the mantras until they fell into a rhythm or a melody. And then from there, I just layered on top of it. Now, for some of them, I already had a theme or a reference to pull from, like in the case of the Lucille Clifton piece. She has a series of poems called Notes to Clark Kent. And so I kind of pulled from the Superman theme to create that. So definitely an ongoing loving practice and organic practice.
How much does your knowledge of the ancestors, as you refer to them, how much does that knowledge play into your compositions, Claudia Jones or Audre Lorde, knowing about them and what they meant and their place in various movements? Does that play a part in your compositions?
I think definitely. Because I've attended Alexis's workshops and because we talk about them and she recommends books, it's like I have my own relationship. So just like I might be inspired to create a song or a piece for my mother and, you know, maybe in the process of creating it, I'm thinking about, you know, a moment where she was really impactful in my life or, of course, the mantra that Alexis's has pulled, but also what I know about it and what that person has helped me to do, or even the context of what type of music they use, like in the case of Harriet Tubman using hymns as a way to organize people, for example.
Alexis, this is a community project, and I know that's important to you. Describe sort of how this works, your idea of the artist and community kind of working together to examine some of these questions.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, with breathing back, and you know, you all played the chanting of I Can't Breathe earlier, we really thought about the entire time we've been thinking about Black feminist breathing as a resource for all of our communities and how we connect to the legacy of our ancestors. But with the breathlessness that we really have sensed and felt ourselves in our community in response to the killing of Eric Garner, the consistent targeting of people of color and especially trans women of color in the streets, just the constriction on our breath that we feel when our lives are not particularly valued, we thought that it made it even more urgent for our community to be able to have access to breathing as an individual resilience practice, but also as a way to access the brilliance of our ancestors and to remember that these ancestors, you know, June Jordan, Ida B. Wells, have been responding to state violence against Black bodies. And we have to remember that when we're called to respond to that in this moment, we're not alone. We're part of a multitude. And so there's something that is very important about that. And because here in Durham, the situation in terms of police violence has been highlighted and is being organized. Song and Spirit House and other wonderful organizations are taking that on. We wanted this to be part of that conversation as a resource for that energy and as a place for us to come back to that would sustain us. And so we don't always have to be in a position of reacting and reacting and reacting, but we can remember that we're part of a continuous breath and that breath loves Black lives, loves Black bodies, loves all people, and we can create that world together.
So if I walk into the Carrick and I experience this exhibit, how do I experience this? Am I going to consume it or do I participate in it? Do I chant? What do you expect of me?
Well, there's not necessarily explicit expectations on you when you come into the space. When you come into the space, you will hear the type of music that, you know, we just heard on the radio. You'll hear these loving mantras that Shango Dare has created. And I believe that it does automatically put you in a meditative space. You do hear the music and then you hear your own breathing. And we've created these spaces of air within the installation. So we have windows that we have interspersed with the visual collages. And several of the collages actually are in frames without glass in front of them. We're thinking about how does the air actually move through conceptually in the space. And then you'll see the faces of these revolutionaries and ancestors surrounded in these bright pieces of paper or old greeting cards or glitter or whatever it is that I have adorned them with. And you'll be invited to be with them, to reflect on what they're asking of you. The images are very striking, and it's almost as if anywhere you stand in the room, you feel like they're all watching you. So there's an accountability, and I think that there's not a negative self-consciousness, but a self-awareness and presence that
Well, it's one of the things that we can lose, I think, our connection with our past and that genealogy, if you refer to them as ancestors, particularly in this kind of digital era where, you know, your screen kind of turns over pretty quickly. And so your attention is shifting, you know, second by second. It's hard to remember back a decade, two decades, to people who changed the course of feminism like Audre Lorde did and shined a light on the difference between what it means to be an African-American woman and a white woman in a feminist movement. Very important consciousness raising. You have to remember back to that period to know where we are today.
That's right.
Shangadare, I know that music has always been important to you. You, at one point, were focusing on church music as well, right? And trying to recapture some of the meanings in those hymns. Am I right?
Yeah. I grew up in the Black Baptist church tradition in the Carolinas, and we sang a lot of old meter hymns that, you know, start off really slow, and the melodies are, you know, flowing across each other. And it's really a tool of, I think, a resource for challenges, and then also a tool for celebration. And so, yes, throughout, you know, theology school and film school and undergraduate school, it's definitely been, to me, an artistic practice, but also a spiritual practice that I've really tried to hold on to and integrate into other things that I'm doing.
Well, the spiritual journey is a journey, and it's one that is in constant motion and bringing you into new experiences all the time. It's a font of creation, and it's always being created anew. And, of course, the challenge is to take a spiritual tradition that gets locked into a hymn or two, and those words had certain meaning for certain people at a given time, mm-hmm. to try to sort of pull out the meaning, break them open and see what they meant. I mean, is that any part of your project?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We had the Queer Black Sunday School Choir Practice Edition, and we do that in community, pulling from the tradition that I was talking about. And we, you know, I teach the songs to the people who come, and, you know, we do vocal warm-up and all that. And I teach the songs, and then we pause and consider together what the words mean, these sort of charged words, theological words like heaven, sin, blessed. And I find that it's really a powerful way for people to think about what it is that they're saying, they're singing, and even to practice together reclaiming traditions, whether it's a musical tradition, whether it's, you know, a tradition of gathering for meals once a week or every, you know, every day in the evening time with your family, but to reclaim these traditions and think about how have they been a resource for your, you know, elders and in the past, and then how can you draw that forward by making your own meaning?
Alexis, you know, it's interesting because human communities have always reinforced or enforced their cohesion, created cohesion, by kind of group activities, enacting their environment, sometimes exercising demons by projecting them physically, dancing them, singing them. And that has been the role of the artist, the seer, the shaman, who can sort of detect and diagnose, right, what's going on, and then project that so it can be visible, understandable to the community, and then processed. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that it makes the role of the artist all the more important these days, and yet all the more difficult because of the silos that we live in terms of our identities. It's harder to see which community we're a part of. I mean, do you take that as a challenge?
Absolutely. I mean, I think when you talked about that, I thought of the image of a circle, right? And we think about community as, oh, everybody's sitting in this circle around the fire. and we're not. You know, like we're sitting near our individual devices pretty much most of the time in isolation. However, I do think that it's the role of the artist to constantly be present to that circle and to think about, okay, if I'm orienting myself towards the fire, towards the love of the people, how do I enact that? How do I help make that visible? And for us, breathing back is that, you know, like we really literally created a circle of these ancestors for us to come make a circle inside of. And I think that making that visual is part of what sustains us and allows us to orient our actions, our minds in a way that allows us to be accountable to each other and understand ourselves, not just as individuals struggling with whatever we happen to be struggling with today, even though we are, but also as interconnected and also as responsible to those who come after us and to those who fought so hard to make it possible for us to be here right now.
I wonder what changes you experienced or what insights you gained and maybe surprises you felt along the way just in putting this exhibit together.
Oh, well, you know, the collages themselves, so the breathing practice and the mantras is something that I really knew after what it did to me personally. I knew I wanted to share it with other people. And the idea of the visual totally transformed in my process of it. So I was thinking about I just want people to know this is what June Jordan looks like. This is what Claudia Jones looks like, right? As an educational accountability, this is the person who said this. And then when I started actually working with their faces and watching them look at me, the collage process became this really intimate, tactile process of being like, wow, you know, if Fannie Lou Hamer was here, I would want to put a crown on her head and like beautiful glittery wings on her body. Like just this is how I feel about them. It was much more of an emotional process than I expected, just as an educator being like, here's Fannie Lou Hamer, you know. So that absolutely was surprising. And then the timing of it in terms of thinking about Black feminist breathing and having to say that breathing was a practice I was doing when I felt that I couldn't breathe. And this constriction around breathing in our communities became so out front and so it confronted all of us and it should confront everyone. It reminded me how important it is for us to take the time to breathe.
I want to thank both of you. Alexis Pauline Gumbs is an artist and founder of the Black Feminist Breathing. And Julia Roxanne Wallace, a.k.a. Shango Dare, also an artist and co-founder of the Mobile Homecoming Project. The exhibit is Breathing Back, a Meditation Chorus, on display until the end of February at the Carrick Modern in Durham. And that's our show for today. Thanks for listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacio.